This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome everyone to the Kollel Mitzuyanim here in Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills, New York. I want to discuss a she'ela which comes up quite often. I bet every Rav in the world deals with this issue every year, and that is people come to sell chametz and they say, Rabbi, besides selling my own chametz, I want to sell my mother-in-law's chametz, my sister-in-law's chametz, my mother-in-law's sister-in-law's chametz, my sister-in-law's mother-in-law's chametz, my brother, my daughter, my daughter-in-law's sister-in-law's chametz, all kinds of maisalach stories of reasons why they don't want to sell their own chametz. They don't like the Rav, their beroig is at their Rav, they're saving the money. Why go to two different rabbanim? This way, you split what you give to the Rav with the sister-in-law, the daughter-in-law, the brother, right? The question is, can you sell someone else's chametz? Can you? What are you selling someone else's? By the way, how you doing? How's everything? I want to sell you my sister-in-law's house. Does she know about it? No. Oh, yeah, sure. I have also a bridge that I would like to sell to you.
I'll take it.
Yeah, there you go. How could you sell? So now, okay. Yeah, obviously they know about it. They told you about it. Fine. Can you sell someone else's chametz? Well, here's the issue. Even if they appointed you a shliach, let's say they appointed you a shliach, but the halacha in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Reish Mem Dalet, it comes from a Gemara in Gittin, is mili lai mimsara l'shliach. You can't give words to a shliach. I could tell you, go marry this woman for me, give her the ring, and say, Hareyat mekudeshes l'ploini v'tavazu. I could give you a get to, you could be a shliach for gerushin. That's when you have an item, and you're delivering the item, and you are my shliach to perform that maisa. But in this case, even if, let's say, your brother-in-law or sister-in-law said, go to Rabbi Gladstein and ask him to sell my chametz. So what is your role in this? You're not doing anything. All you're doing is carrying words. You are appointed by your sister-in-law, Yenta. Yenta says, Rabbi Yankel, take my words that I want Rabbi Gladstein to be my shliach and deliver them to him. But that's the rule of mili loy mimsara l'shliach. How could that work? It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Simen, Reish, Mem, Dalet. Well, there is an opinion that Oimer Imru works. What's Oimer Imru? Where Yenta says, don't tell Rabbi Gladstein that, in other words, Yenta says to Jeffrey, you're my shliach to tell Rabbi Gladstein to sell my chametz. No. Yenta tells you, Jeffrey, Rabbi Gladstein, I want him to sell my chametz. You just tell him. Just let him know. So you're not a shliach to give over Yenta's words to somebody. Yenta is the one who is just letting you know that she wants Rabbi Gladstein to be the sheikh. Instead of just delivering words from A to B to C, it's you're letting B is supposed to apprise C that A wants C to do the job.
Yeah, but she has to tell him still.
A doesn't tell C directly, it could still work through the principle of Oimer Imru. Okay, but here's where the problem gets a little bit more difficult. And that is, in Europe, many Rabbanim had a custom that they would take their chametz list from Tavshin Ayin Zayin, let's say, and say, what happened? Chaim Yankel sold by me Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Beryl sold by me Tavshin Ayin Zayin. Fivel sold by me Tavshin Ayin. Tavshin Ayin Ches, what happened to these guys? Why aren't they selling chametz by me?
I'm a cheaper rock.
Either, yeah. Probably they got smart. They're doing it online, you know. It's much cheaper that way, you know. Or their beroig is at the Rav. They don't want to. Now, some people do the opposite. Somebody once asked me, Shaila, can he sell his chametz by two different rabbanim? I said, what? How do you sell your chametz by two different rabbanim? Well, I don't want to insult the Rav that I'm not selling the Chametz by him. So I go around to different Rabbanim. I'm only selling it really by one. But I don't want to give him tzedakah, you know, it's not bakavadik. So I'm making each one think that I'm selling the Chametz by him to give him a check. So he told me he asked the Rav, and the Rav said, yeah, you could do it. So I wanted to know if that was the Rav who, you know. But I would think you could do that. There's nothing wrong. You know, the place that you're really selling the Chametz is valid selling. The other ones, so it's an excuse to. Okay, but the question is, can a Rav add to the list people who are not selling the Chametz by him? Maybe they forgot. Maybe they don't know the halacha. Can you sell someone else's Chametz for them without knowledge? Meaning, even if you're going to say, Oimer Imru works, but that's when the person wants you to sell their Chametz. But in this situation, the person has absolutely no awareness that you're selling their Chametz. Can you sell their Chametz for them? So maybe you'll say, it should work. Why should it work? Ah, because the Gemara says a klal, Zachin la'adam shaloi b'fanav. What does Zachin la'adam shaloi b'fanav mean? I'm walking down the street, and all of a sudden I see, hey, aren't those the Queen's jewels? What's that doing in Kew Garden Hill? It's amazing how it got here. And then you read a story in the paper that the King of England had an airplane drop one of his jewels in Queens, and whoever finds it gets to keep it as a one-time special gift to the United States of America. And lo and behold, you found it. You say to yourself, me, I'm a multimillionaire, I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently wealthy. I don't need the Queen's jewels. But my friend Beryl, Hitaka, could use the extra income. I'm mechaven to pick up the jewel for Beryl. Is Beryl koina the jewel when I pick it up for him? Yes. Zechiyah mitam shlichos, meaning Anan Sahadi, we're all witnesses, that if Beryl would have known about it, he would have appointed me to be his shliach to pick it up for him. So even though Beryl did not appoint me to be his shliach to pick it up for him, but where the whole world are witnesses that had he known he would have, that is tantamount to an appointment. Zachin la'adam shaloi b'fanav, zechiyah mitam shlichos. So too by Chametz. This guy, we'll call him Jim. Jim is a secular Jew. He doesn't know about Chametz. Or let's say even better, we'll call him Fivel. Fivel knows about Chametz. He forgot to sell the Chametz. Would Fivel want the Rav to sell his Chametz? Avada, because he doesn't want to be over about Yira, about Yimotzei. He doesn't want to have Chametz Avar Lava Pesach. So it's like Anan Sahadi, had he remembered or had he known about the importance of selling Chametz, he would have appointed the Rav to sell the Chametz. So can we utilize the principle of Zachin La'adam Shaloi B'fanav? Now the rabbi has a right to add people who sold by him last year, to add all the people who forgot, and sell their Chametz for them. L'chayra it should work. Zachin la'adam shalai b'fanav.
Then the same chametz maybe ended up being sold to two different people. Is that not a problem?
You know, first come, first serve. Whoever sells it first, sells it. Here's the problem. There's a famous Ketzoy Sachoshen. The Ketzoy Sachoshen is found in Simen Reish Mem Gimel, Sivkatan Ches. And the Ketzoy wants to know, the zachin la'adam shaloi b'fanav, is that zachin le'adam and also me'adam, or is it only le'adam? Meaning, wait a second, says the Ketzos, you're extrapolating, you're extending the principle in a case where we don't know it necessarily applies. In the case where you want to pick up a jewel for somebody, you're being zoichef for a person without their consent, because you know that they would have appointed you. But in the case, let's say you have a woman who is kneading dough and she forgot to be mafresh challah. Can you be mafresh challah for her? Because Anan Sahadi, if she would have remembered, let's say she kneaded dough and then she left, and the only way now she's going to be able to eat it is if you're mafresh challah for her, Could you be mafresh challah for a woman without her consent? Says the Ktsos HaChoshen, no. Because the rule of Zachin la'adam shalai b'fanav is Zachin li'adam shalai b'fanav v'loi Zachin me'adam shalai b'fanav.
You can only get something, you can't take something away.
Yes. When could you act as a shliach on someone's behalf? If you are acquiring something for them. But if you are removing something from their rishus, we don't have evidence, we don't have a precedent that Zachin may Adam Shalai Bafanov.
How about the bracha?
The person wants this to happen. It's to his benefit. You ask him, he'll say 100% I want you to do it. Why should it be a difference whether or not he acquires something or gives up something if the person has the will to have this accomplished? Well, why is it a difference whether it's the acquisition or displacement of the object? Is it an issue?
To me, it seems more. You say, "Zechma look by davar gashmi, or look by mitzvah." Of course, okay. So you take a little, lose a little challah, but you won't be able to avera. So that's the sport. The sport is.
And you may eat the challah. Eat the challah.
So that shtick of challah is not as you're taking it away from it.
Yeah. That is a shita. The ktsais simon reish mem gimel sif ches sif katan ches zachin li adam shalai b'fanav. V'lai zachin may adam shabafanav. Do we hold that way? Comes Rama in Simin Shin Chaf Ches, and the Rama says that if a woman is kneading dough, and she was a mafresh challah, you're allowed to be mafresh challah for them. You're allowed to separate challah for them. Why? Because zechiya mitam shlichus zachin le adam shabafanav. V'gam kein zachin mei adam shalai b'fanav. So the Rama has a different opinion. And the Ktsos is arguing on the Rama. In fact, the Ktsos quotes the Rama. He says, V'yaradeya simen shin chav ches pasak mishmeres b'mishareses kedivrei chumas hadashen. Says, so that means the Rama passes like the Chumas Sadeshin that you could be mafresh challah for someone. Says the Ktsos, Ve'im ki yadati miud erki. Even though I know my diminished stature, lahar achar piskei Rav Yisraelin. And so she the Rama, Amnam la niyaz daiti toisus arajo yisraeli hachi. If you look in Adarim, the Rajva says that the kshaylov hatorem mishaloi al shechaveroi tzarech dasay loi. Says the Rajba Kashali, the Hashlichus Lav Midin de Nichale, Oiloi Nichale, Elixir Sakosov, Dema Atem Ladaitchem, Avshlichachem Ladaitchem. Meaning the Ktsos feels that the Rishonim say that the Svara of Zachin La Adam is only Zachin Le Adam and not Zachin Me Adam. So what's the Pshat? So the Ktsos argues on the Rama and the Chumas Hadashin. So the question is, how do we paskin? Yeah? So the question is, how do we paskin? So there's a tshuva in Shas HaTshuvas Be'er Yitzchak. Who wrote Shas HaTshuvas Be'er Yitzchak? Rav Yitzchak, Elchanan, Spector, Kavna Rav. And in the very first tshuva, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan says, we paskin like the Rama. Zachin la'adam.
And Meir.
Shalai b'fanav v'zachin mei adam shalai b'fanav. What's the raya? The Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara says ger katan matbilin oisai al das bezdin. If you have a ger who's a katan, so we say we toivel him. Bezdin could be toivel him. Bezdin could throw him into the mikvah. Why? Because zachin la adam shalai b'fanav. That means that zechiya works, mitam, shlichus, even where here you're not being zechiya something for the guy, you're taking away from the guy, Rabbi Yisroel Kacharan says. What are you taking away from him? Taking away from him is freedom. The Gemara says, avda behefkira nichale, but you're not being koina anything tangible, you are removing him from something, you are doing a shlichus to take him out of something, against his will. Why? Because we know he would have wanted it. So says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, From here we see Zachin LaAdam Shalai B'Fanav Le'a Adam and even Me'a Adam. Remember that Gemara in Ksubis? Ger Katan. It's in the Babirazimeh, that is the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. However, he wants to know, what about if somebody did not... So he paskins that, yes, a Rav could sell somebody's chametz for them without rishos. What if somebody was not mevatel their chametz? Can a Rav, be mevatel someone's chametz for them if they were not mevatel their chametz? For example, let's say Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, right? So it's a very complicated procedure. You got to wake up early in the morning, you daven 7 o'clock, and you come home, you eat the first suda, you eat chametz, you walk around the block for a half hour, you come back and you eat chalashidus, nacham al chametz, and then you're mevatel the chametz. What if somebody forgot to be mevatel the chametz? Could the Rav...
They did it b'shogeg, right?
What? Yeah, whatever. They didn't know about it.
Isn't it the same issue that in the end the person, he made a mistake, he forgot, but he still wants you.
Right, right. So you would think it comes under the same guidelines, the same parameters. So Yitzchak Elchanan says that he will not be makel over there. In other words, you could sell someone's chametz for them unknowingly, but you cannot be mevatel it. He says because being mevatel chametz is such an easy procedure, it's something that there's no excuse not to do, and he would not allow this leniency to rely on zachen me'adam under those circumstances, only in a situation where somebody did not sell their chametz. So basically what we have so far is, to be able to sell someone's chametz without their permission, the only way it works so far is, not like the shita of the Ktzois, but like the shita of the Rama, that zachen le'adam and zachen me'adam.
How does doing it with an appointment fit into this?
It doesn't really help. What?
If they do appoint you, you're not doing it without their knowledge.
So if they do appoint you, you mean they appoint the shliach to appoint the rabbi?
Yeah.
Again, that only works for Omer Imru. But let me... So yeah, good point. Let me just explain. We started off by asking... Let's say, and Matilda asks you to go to the Rav.
Right.
It's still Shver, because Mili Loi Mimsur L'Shliach, and not everyone holds Omer Imru works. The answer is that would work through Zachin L'Adam. How? Meaning it's not that you could carry her words to the Rabbi, because you can't carry words to the Rabbi, but once she tells you that she wants it, and she does want it, it's no worse than doing it without her knowledge. Right? Okay, good point. But Moshe Sternbach in Chelek Gimel of Ma'adim Azmanim, Siman Reish Samach Tes, he also discusses this issue, and he says a tremendous chiddush, which would probably make most people feel quite uncomfortable. But here it goes. He says, what if a person forgot to sell their chametz, or sold it in a way where the mechir was not a good sale? Many poskim hold that you're allowed to sell someone else's chametz shalai midaita because zachen la adam v'zachen me adam. And then Rav Sternbach says it could be that even if you want to argue like the Ktzois that you can't be zoicha me adam, maybe that's only, let's say, to be mafresh challah. Because if you can't be mafresh challah, it's in the person's rishus. So maybe we don't say zachen me'adam. Masha'in came when it comes to chametz. If you don't use zechia, without the din of zechia, the chametz is still asur lagamri. So it's not like it's really in the rishus of the person anyway. It's maybe not called zachen me'adam. Because since the chametz is asur bahana, that's not called removing it from his domain. Because the Gemara even says that Chametz, the Isra Hanah takes it out of the person's domain.
But Chametz would be usher to them after Pesach.
True.
He didn't do it.
That's only a penalty because he didn't get rid of it.
But the truth is,
he doesn't have ownership on it. He doesn't really have ownership. In fact, the Gemara says...
Where'd the ownership go?
It's something that's usher b'hanah, you have no control over. That's not real ownership. The Gemara even says the Torah puts it back into your rishus just to nail you on Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. But normally, the Gemara says there are three things that are einu b'rishus shel adam that the Torah puts back into your rishus. Passively. So, but the Rav Shtornbach then offers the following idea, which would make everyone who...
If we say that the Torah takes it out of your rishus...
Yeah.
Why do we have to sell it?
That's because the Torah puts it back into your rishus.
If I only have to Pesach.
No. On Pesach. Bal Yirah puts it back into your rishus, the Gemara says. But says Rav Shtornbach a very interesting thing. That the Rav of a community, who's appointed as the rabbi of the shul or of the neighborhood, has a koyach of Bezdin. The Ktzois himself says, in Siman Reish Mem Gimel Siv Zayin, that Rav Be'iroi or Be'kilasai has a din of a Bezdin. Like the Sma writes, Mishan Esmana Al Tzibur is like Yiftach B'doiroi Kishmo B'doiroi. That means if the Rav has the status of a Bezdin, he could be Mesakein and Dinei Mamonois. Therefore, every Rav has the ability to render ownerless anybody's property at any time. So, you know, it's good to know. And he's better than a shomer who sells something. And therefore, says Rav Shtornbach, every rav, when he sells the chametz to the guy, should get another two rabbanim, and write in the shtar mechira that they're selling it as a bezdin, as a rav. All the chametz that anybody forgot to sell, or is not in their house, or anybody's chametz where the mechira was in chal, says Rav Shtornbach, the Rav has the right to render your money ownerless. What do you mean? How could he sell my chametz without my rishus? Zochen le'adam, le'zochen me'adam. No, the answer is, because it's his. He owns it. You don't own anything. Once you live in a Jewish community, the rabbi of the community has ownership on your money. He owns your property. Right? Obviously.
Someone you know, said that owned the rabbi.
Bad. Now this is a rav. This is the kind of rav that you know.
But Rebbe, then why do you say if somebody, if the rav has that kind of power, somebody's going away for yontif? You always ask, where is the key going to be? So in a case where you didn't sell it to him and he doesn't know you're going to sell it, what kind of mechira is that? If even if the rav says,
one second. That's how it's working. It's working within Hefker Bezen Hefker. He says like this. He says, V'chein rav v'kilasai mafgia mamoin l'toivasam. Now, he can't do it if it's bad for the person. In other words, the rav can't say, but you know, you have a nice house.
I'm taking it over.
Do you mind moving into the park for a few years? Because now, you know, my kids need a place to live. No, it doesn't work. He says, V'adif mi shomer shamaycher da'ala muta adar liya shomer aveda. So he says something very interesting. Agav, he says, the Rav should be careful to sell the chametz in the fifth hour and not before. Now many Rabbonim are Torah Erev Pesach, so they like to do the mechira early. Well, one second, do the mechira early. Can't do the mechira early. Because if you're selling for people who don't know about it, and you're only selling it for them because it's good for them, it ain't good for them until the last second. Maybe they want to eat breakfast. Maybe they want to sell it. Maybe they want to do a business deal. If the whole mechanism of the sale, for all the people who forgot or didn't do it properly, is midin zechia, then the Rabbanim need to wait for the last second. I think nowadays most Rabbanim do wait for the last second. And so that's some of the lamdas of Mechiras Chametz. Let me tell you one more thing. So there's another problem. The problem is, how could you give a Rav Rishus to sell your Chametz? Hatenach, all the chametz that's in your rishos at the time you sell it to the Rav. So right now I have in my house challah, donuts, pizza. So I am now authorizing the Rav to sell all my chametz. But let's say I authorize him 2 weeks before Pesach. In the next 2 weeks, you know how much chametz I'm going to buy? You know how many donuts, cake, cookies, pizza I'm going to buy? So how is the Rav authorized to sell all the chametz that I'm going to purchase after I authorize him? Says, no, I give him the rights. I authorize him to sell future purchase. What?
To sell whatever is going to be in your possession.
Correct. But that's called davar shalai ba la'olam. Ve'ein adam makne davar shalai ba la'olam. Gemara Bava Sia says, I can't transfer to you ownership of something that I don't own yet. Even something that I will own.
Even though the mechira is not going to take place, and you have in mind that the mechira is only going to happen at the time just before the fifth hour.
Yeah.
And it's understood that whatever I'm going to have there, this is, I'm willing for you to do this. It's not a negative, it's a positive for me. Why doesn't that work?
Right now, I tell you like this. I am going to purchase 100 baseball cards in 1 week. I'm writing a shtar now that you're buying from me all the cards that I'm going to get in 1 week. Is it chal or is it nachal?
If I understand that,
it's nachal. Because in halacha, you can't transfer something. You can't transfer something to somebody that you don't own yet.
But you're not selling it to the Rav. The Rav is only a shliach.
But there's a kinyan being made. There's an acquisition. There's a kinyan. So meaning the Rav's koine rights. But you can't be koine right to something that doesn't exist yet.
What does it mean the Rav's koine right?
He's koine rights of authorization. This is a question of the Shas Tshuvas Oineg Yamtif. Comes Rav Sternbuch in his Haggadah, Ma'adim Azmai, says, now we know why people give money to the Rav for Mechiras Chametz. People think, it's tzedakah money. Maybe that's true. But there's a halachic reason. Why? Because when you pay somebody, they become a payal. They become a worker. There's a klal in halacha, yad payal, ki yad balabayas, which means the Rav is not working for you. He becomes in lieu of you. He has your yad. Which means then a payal has rights to even your future purchases. Because his hand is your hand.
But we didn't sign an employment contract.
Now, lest you think this is a self-serving lumdus that I'm telling you. Doesn't mean you have to give the Rav more than 25 cents. You know? It's just by giving him money, you render him no longer. He's not acting. You're not giving him rights to sell. You're creating an employee. He's your worker.
If you don't pay the
Rav,
then you're in trouble.
If you don't pay in the Rav, then you're in trouble for many reasons, right? But even halachically, according to Rav Sternbuch,
then do we have to pay the Rav at 1099?
So that's a good shayla. But that's beyond the scope of the shir in the public. Okay, well now we could...
All right.
Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.